Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Reish Hashanah Chav Ches. We begin right at the bottom of Chav Zayin Amud Beis. The last words on that line, Amar Rabba, Shema Miktsas Tkiya Beboir, U Miktsas Tkiya Al Sfas HaBoir Yotza. Yesterday we learned in the Mishnah, if one blows a shofar into a pit, there's a concern with the echoing, in which case you're not really listening to the pure sound of the shofar, and you're not yotze. But that's only provided you're outside the bur. By the time the sound of the shofar reaches you, it's already mu'urvav, it's mixed up, it's echoed, it's reverberating, it's not the clear sound of the shofar. But if you're inside the pit itself, where the shofar is being blown, you're okay because you're listening to the pure, clear sound coming straight from the shofar, unaffected by the enclosure and by the echoes. Says Rava, Shama miktsas tkiya bebar. Rashi explains, at this point we figure we're speaking, there's a fellow standing outside the bar, al sfas habar, and he's listening in to the tkiya taking place inside the bar. His friend is inside blowing. He starts inside and then comes out to end his tkiya outside the bar. And this fellow standing on top of the bar outside is listening all along. Shama miktsas tkiya bebar. Part of the tkiya, the first part he heard from inside the bar. He's standing outside and he's listening in. U miktsas tkiya al sfas habar. The second half of the tkiya was blown once the fellow came out. So again, he's standing outside. The first half of the tkiya was blown from inside the bar. Come midway through the tkiya, this fellow who's blowing climbs out of the bar and completes his tkiya outside. Yotza. The fellow outside listening all along is yotze. The Gemara figures, because he heard the last part of the tkiya. Clearly, that's enough. The end without the beginning is enough. However, miktsas tkiya koidim shiyala amud ha-shachar. We know that the first point, the earliest point of tkiya is amud ha-shachar, a daybreak. So you're listening to a tkiya, which is taking place as follows. Part of the tkiya was koidim shiyala amud ha-shachar. He started before, u'miktsas tkiya la'achar shiyal amud ha-shachar, and he completed the tkiya after amud ha-shachar. In this case, la yotze, he's not yotze because listening to the end without a beginning doesn't work. Only Abaye asks Abaye, what's the difference between the two cases? In both cases, he heard one part of the tkiya and not the other. And in one case you say it's good, in the other case not. Maishna hosan, why is it that over there, in the case of starting at night, you say it doesn't work? Why? Deba'ino kula tkiya b'chayuva. B'leka, you need that the entire tkiya should be done properly. At a time where you're meant to blow the shofar, a time of chiyuv, b'leka, you don't have it because the first part was blown at night. Hachanami here as well. When he started blowing inside the bar, the same problem. But ina kula tkiya b'chiyuva v'laka. Don't you need the entire tkiya to have been done with clarity in a way that you can be yetz the chiyuv, which you don't have because you're listening into the bar and you can't hear it clearly. So although you had the second part which was blown outside, you're missing the first part. Hachi hashta, how do you compare? It's a big difference. It's way worse when you started at night. Hosam. Laila loves man chiyuva hu klal. When you start blowing at night, nighttime is not a time which is appropriate for blowing the shofar at all. It's not a masa tkiya at all. She's really missing that part, and it doesn't work. Hacha bar makam chiyuva hu. As opposed to blowing in a bar, theoretically, it's a makam where you can blow a shofar and be yotzei achiv, lo yisan ha'imdim bar. For those who are sitting inside the bar, who hear it clearly, so the actual maisa is a masa mitzvah. It can work. So although for yourself who's standing outside, you're standing outside the bar, you can't necessarily appreciate the first half of the tkiya because it sounds like an echo to you. As long as you get the last part, that's enough, because the masa of blowing in the bar is considered something which relates to mitzvah, relates to chiyuv. And as long as you have the last part, it's like a handle to the rest of the tkiya, you have the whole thing. So more at this point figures, getting part of the tkiya, beginning or the end works. as long as it's in a chiyuv context. Lememra the Sava Rabba. Let's assume that Rabba holds. Shama soif tkiyah. Beloy tchilas kiyah yotza. If you heard the last part of the tkiyah without the beginning, you're yotz. Umeila. And likewise, let's take it a step further. Tchilas tkiyah. Beloy soif tkiyah yotza. If you hear the beginning without the end, you're yotz as well. Let's assume these things go hand in hand. The Gemara is setting up for the kasha. Tashma. Listen to this raya from a Mishnah where it seems a partial tkiyah isn't enough. We had this yesterday. So you have to blow three sets of blows. Malchus, Zechronis, and Shefers. Each one gets a tkiyah, then a shivarim or a trua, followed by another tkiyah. So what happened was, this fellow was taka berishona. The first time around, a proper tkiyah. Then he did the shivarim or whatever. And then he was meant to do a tkiyah to end that first set. Second tkiyah of set one. And do another tkiyah one of set two. But he extended double as long to accommodate both tkiyahs. Umashach b'shniyah kishtayim. The second tkiyah, he did double as long, figuring he could be yotze one tkiyah and another in the same sound. Ein b'yada le'achas, it only counts as one. Why? Why can't you say the first part of the tkiyah relates to the first set? You had the beginning to the beginning, even though you didn't really have an ending because it just went into the next tkiyah, but the beginning without the end is okay. And the second half of that tkiyah could count for the second set of blowing, because although you only have the end, but you don't have the beginning because it's just connecting to the previous tkiyah, that's okay. Beginning without an end, or an end without a beginning is okay. Vamai, why is he not yaitse? Why does it only count as one? Tisalak labitarati. Let's count it as two, according to Rav Shita. Answers the Gemara. Big difference. Over here, it's one big tkiyah. Who says you can split it? Pesuki tkiyosa mehadodi loypaskinan. So split a long tkiyah into two. Who says you can do that? Rav is speaking where he has one tkiyah, but he happened to only really hear the end or the beginning. That works. But to take a jumbo tkiyah and split it into two, meichatese. Who says? Tashma, this is going to be another raya from our Mishnah that we learned yesterday. Hatakel otech haboyer otech hadus. He blows into a pit, otech hadus, into an above ground enclosure, otech hapitas, into a big vat. And somebody listening. Im koil shofar shama yotza. If he actually heard the clear sound of the shofar, it's okay. Im koil haboyer shama lo yotza. If he hears the reverberating sounds, the echoing sounds, he's not yotza. Vamai, what's the problem? Leipak b'tchilas tkiyah. Let him be yotze with the first part of the tkiyah, mikam midler arviv kol, before the kol gets echoed and mixed up. The first point of blowing is still clear before the sound waves hit the walls and start bouncing back and forth. Beginning is enough. Answers the Gemara, you're right. Let's cancel that whole proposal. Beginning without an end, or end without a beginning, that's not enough. So what then was Rabba speaking about? He started blowing in the bar, he came out of the bar. Kikama Rabba. Rabba was speaking about a case as follows. This fellow was blowing his shofar, and he wanted to be yotze himself. There's nobody listening. He started blowing in the bar. In the midst of his tkiyah, he climbed out, all the while blowing his shofar. So half was in the bar and half was outside the bar. Rabbi is telling you that he is yotze. Why? Very pashut. The first point of tkiyah, he was in the bar with the shofar. And we know that a fellow who is actually in the bar can hear the clear sound of the shofar. The second portion of his tkiyah took place outside the bar. Him and the shofar were outside. There you go. There's no problem there. That's all Rabbi was speaking about. So we actually heard the entire tkiyah. If that's the case, my lememra, then why even speak about it? Isn't it obvious that it's okay? There is a chiddush, ma'ot tema. Zimnin, the mapik reshe. Perhaps we should be concerned that at times he might first pick up his head. Head here means the ear specifically. So first his ears might come out before his shofar. Vakatu shofar bebar, and the shofar is still in the bar. He has this long, sfardi shofar. He's climbing out. His ears make it up, but his shofar is still in the bar. So for that split moment, V'kama arvav kol, the sound is going to get echoed, because he's outside and the shofar is inside. And that's a problem. K'mashmulan, the chiddush is, we're not chayishes for that. It happens so quickly, and let's assume that the fact that the shofar is right near the opening of the bor, the echoing effect won't really be so severe. He'll be able to relate to the pure, clear sound coming straight from the shofar. So that's what Rabbi was speaking about. Straightforward case. The Baal Tekeh himself started in the bor. While he's blowing, he makes it out of the bor. So it's one continuous blow, half in the bor, half out of the bor. That's okay, because in either case, he was able to hear the clear sound of the shofar. Okay, continues the Gemara with another concept. Amar of Yehuda. B'shofar shel oyla lo yitka. One should not blow a shofar taken from an oyla animal. That's kachim. Vim taka yatsa. But if he blew that shofar, he's yaitse the mitzvah. However, b'shofar shel shlomim lo yitka. He shouldn't take a horn from a shlomim carbon. In this case, yim taka lo yatsa. Even but the yevra doesn't work. My time, what's the difference between a shlomim where it doesn't work and an oyla where it does? Very simple, says the Gemara. Oyla bas me'ilahi. When one derives benefit from a carbon oyla, he has committed me'ilah. And what happens then? Me'ilah Rashi in Chumash says, shine. It gets changed. Change of status. Kivan demalba. Once he did me'ilah, nafkala l'chulun. It turns into chulun. It loses its carbon status. In which case? It's no longer a shofar of an animal. Of a carbon animal. It's just chulun. And therefore, there's no avera being done. It's not considered a mitzvah done by way of an avera. Mitzvah by avera. It's not. Because by the time he's blowing it, it's already chulun. As opposed to a shlomim. The lav b'nei me'ilah ninu. Rashi explains, a shlomim animal doesn't have me'ilah. It's kachem kalm. It's meant to be eaten by the owner, by the kohen. There's no din me'ilah there. In this case, isura hudarach b'hu. All we have is just a plain isser, which doesn't get affected by usage. There's no change happening. Isser me'ilah means change. So in a way, me'ilah is worse, because it's a carbon me'ilah you have to pay back with a chemish. But the fact is, the process of me'ilah results in the thing becoming chulam. So now, using it for a mitzvah, it works. But in the case where it's a non-me'ilah context, like a shlomim, in which case, benefiting from it doesn't generate the halachas of me'ilah and karbanis of me'ilah, it's just a plain isur. Isura hu derachi bohu. In which case, we say v'lei nafki l'chulun. It doesn't turn into chulun. It remains a carbon. And using it for a mitzvah doesn't work because he's doing an isur. He's taking a carbon and using it for his own personal use. It's a mitzvah haba b'avera. He's not yaitse. So if it's a horn from an oyla, in which case, he's being ma'il. He turned it into chulin. Now it's his. He can be yetz the mitzvah. I'm not speaking l'chatchila. Of course, he shouldn't be doing this. But now that's after the fact, he was yetz. As opposed to a shlomim, which doesn't have this me'ilah concept. It's just an isser to use the carbon. It remains hegdish. He's committing an isser while blowing. It doesn't work. Maskev l'rava. Says Rava, one second. How are you getting around the oyla issue? You're telling me that it's a me'ilah, and the me'ilah turns into chulin, but the timing is a bit off, because when he starts blowing, it's still carbon. Once he's getting into the blow, now he's committed me'ilah, it turns into chulin. But the actual tekiah started when it's a carbon. It's a mitzvah, habab avera. Amos mal. When has he committed me'ilah? Labasa de taka, after he starts blowing. Well, kika taka, as he's starting to blow, be sura taka. It's be isur, it's still a carbon. Me'ilah hadn't yet occurred. The effect of me'ilah, the transforming into chulun, hadn't yet happened. So it's a carbon, he's doing an isur. How can you say that a shofar shel oyla works? Ela marava, you're right. Echad ze vechad ze lo yatze. Whether it's the oyla, the shlam, he's not yatze. You can't take a horn of it, of a carbon, and use it for a personal mitzvah. Hadamara. But then Rava came around and he reverted. He was chayzer. He says just the opposite. Echad ze vechad ze yatze. Whether it's from an oyla or shlam, he's yatze. You know why? He's not deriving any personal gain by blowing a shofar on Rosh Hashanah. He's doing a mitzvah. Mitzvah is lav lahanes nitnu. A mitzvah is a spiritual experience. It's not personal hana. There's no be'ilah happening. There isn't even an issa Torah. When you use a horn of a carbon for a mitzvah, it seems like it's issa d'rabbanon. You shouldn't do it, but min ha-Torah, there's no issa taking place. He's doing a mitzvah with it. And therefore, Rava says, it's not considered a mitzvah haba'a ba'aveira and he's yotze. So whether it's the oil or the shlamim, he's yotze. In the same vein, says Gemara, Amar Yehuda, b'shef shel avedah zara le'yitka. If there's a shef belonging to avedah zara, don't use it, it's not appropriate. But v'im taka yotze, if he used it, he's yotze, for the same reason. It's not considered personal hanah. He's not doing an isser of hanah from avedah zara, because he's doing a mitzvah with it. He's getting a lot of spiritual benefit, lasa lavi. But in this world, we don't consider it a personal hana. There's no physical pleasure taking place, and therefore he's not doing an isra. And he's yaitzi the mitzvah. However, the shefer shel ir hanidachas leitka. If it's a shefer coming from a city whose most of its inhabitants worship the zara and it's going to be burnt, you can't use a shefer from that city. And even with the evad vimtoka layotza. Why? My time, Iran Dachas, Ktusei Mechtashuri. You see, we learned yesterday that a shofar needs to have a shear, a minimum of a tefach. Something which is in the Iran Dachas slated for destruction, or burning, no longer has a concept of shear. There's no measure, there's no quantity. You see, think about it. What is quantity? The bigger it is, the more effective it is, the more suitable for that particular function it is. Right? So you have a large car, you can fit 10 people in. It's really a high-functioning car. But if the car's on the way to the junkyard, does it make sense to say, well, I have a large car on the way to the junkyard? It's no longer carrying passengers. It's not aimed for that shimush. So quantity, size, means nothing, has no value. A shofar heading for destruction no longer has a shiur. Yeah, it's here. The object is here, but size, quantity has no meaning, has no relevance, because it's not aimed for shimush of blowing. It's aimed for destruction. So although it's here, but it's lacking the chashivas of shiur, of size, of quantity, and therefore it cannot be used for shofar, which needs a minimum shiur of a tefach. It has to have that chashivas of a shiur tefach. Amar Rava, continuing on the same topic of mitzvahs lav lahanes nitnu. We have another aspect of this halacha. Hamudur hanoa mechaveira. Suppose Reuven is mudur hanoa from Shimon. He committed himself with a nether to refrain from having hanoa from Shimon. Still, mutar litkoya lo itkiyashal mitzvah. Shimon can blow for Reuven at kiyashal mitzvah for the same very reason. Mitzvah is lav lahanes nitnu. Hamudu Anomi Shafer, likewise, if he has a nether, refraining from this Shafer, he gave him a hard time last year, he's going to keep away from this Shafer. Well, Mutalit Koyibat Kiyashal Mitzvah, if he changes his mind, he can use it for Kiyashal Mitzvah. The same reason. Mitzvah is Lav Lahonis Nitma, not having personal Hano, I'm doing a mitzvah with it. It's a spiritual experience. Continues the Gemara. Another aspect of the same concept, Vamarava, Hamudu Anomi Chavir. Suppose he has a nether to refrain from Hano, from his friend. Maz Olav Meichantas, his friend can sprinkle on him the Meipur Aduma, be Meisach Shaman during winter time, because again, it's just a mitzvah, and there's no personal Hano. Avaloy Meisach Hamab, not during summertime, he'll enjoy the sprinkling of the water. Or another case, Hamud Arno Meimai, he's going to refrain from using this spring. Toil by Tvilashal Mitzvah, he can be Toil by Tvilashal Mitzvah, be Meisach Shaman during winter time, when there's no personal physical Hano. Avaloy Meisach Hamab, not during summertime. So although, this is a chiddush, because although it's primarily for mitzvah, but since there's some side benefit coming along with it, that residual hanah saguf is problematic. Therefore, b'moisa hachamo, he can't use it. Okay, so let's summarize. We learned about mitzvah, lav lahanis nitnu. It's meant to be done as a mitzvah. It's not meant for personal gain. It's not considered hanah saguf. And therefore, we learn that you can use a b'diyeva. If you use the shefer of a carbon, he's yoytze. Of a dezara is yoytz, unless it's iran edachas, where it doesn't have a shiur. And even a mudir no mechaveir can blow for you. He can sprinkle a mechatas during the winter time, and you could use a mayan of nether hanoa during winter time as well for a tefillah shel mitzvah. Continues the Gemara. Sholchu le'lavu d'shmo. The Chacham sent the following halacha to Shmuel's father. Perhaps he wasn't well, they wanted to include him in the yeshiva, so they sent him the following halacha. We had this yesterday as well. So they sent him the following halacha. What happens if kafay v'achal matzah? It's the first night of Pesach, and they forced him to eat matzah against his will. Is he yotze? Yes, yotze. He's yotze the mitzvah. Asks the Gemara, who forced who? Kaf ayman, who forced him to eat? Ilayim a kaf ayishjed. Perhaps ayishjed, an evil spirit, got a hold of him and totally took him over, dominated him, and forced him to eat this matzah. Does that work? He's under the influence of a shade. He's not responsible for his actions. He can't be yotze mitzvah. Tanya. Itim cholim. Suppose a person has his moods. At times he's healthy. Itim shoyte. At times he's mentally unstable. What's that halacha? Kshu cholim. When he's mentally stable, when he's healthy, harayuke pikech chodvarav. We treat him like a healthy person. He's chayv in the mitzvahs, etc. Kshu shoyte. When he's unstable, harayuke shoyte chodvarav. He's regarded like a shoyte. He's not yotze any mitzvahs. Shoyte is potter from mitzvahs. This fellow who is stricken by a shade can't be yotze mitzvah. Amar of Ashi shekuf uparsim was speaking that Persian. The guy grabbed him and forced him to eat the matzah. So he was mentally there, but it wasn't something that he of his choosing. Nevertheless, he's yotze, even though he wasn't miskaven to be yotze. Amar Rav Zeh Semeres, we can learn from here. The fact that you say just having eaten matzah without kavanah to be yotze mitzvah is enough, well, evidently, one could be yotze mitzvah without kavanah, and therefore take care of the shir yotze. One grabs a hold of a shofar on Rosh Hashanah and blows with it the shir, to sing, using it as an instrument. Another pshat in Rashi is to care of the shade, to chase away the shade. So his kavanah wasn't l'shem mitzvah, yotze. Just as the case of the matzah. You do the Maasa Mitzvah, irrelevant of Kavanah, you're Yetzer. Well, Pshito, obviously, Hanuhach, isn't this an exact copy of the previous case? If Matzah works, then Shefa works. Well, the Tema, perhaps I would think, it's different. Hosam, in the case of the Matzah, Echol Matzah Amar Rachmona. Torah says, first night of Pesach, sit down and have your Matzah. Ba'achal, and he had it. Rashi explains, the fact is, he had a Noah during the Achila. And when one has physical pleasure, he relates to it. It's a personal experience. Perhaps that's why it works, despite the fact that he had no kavanah l'shem mitzvah. Aval hacha, when it comes to the shofar, perhaps kavanah is critical. Why? Zichrein truoksim. Torah speaks about blowing on Rosh Hashanah and describes the day as a zichrein trua, to arouse the zikaron of Yisrael to Hashem. Perhaps you have to be cognizant of what you're doing. You have to be into it. V'hai masasek ba'amu. This fellow is just blowing l'shir. He's preoccupied. He's not doing it l'shem mitzvah. Perhaps it doesn't constitute the current rule. Kamash 1, that's why Rava says no. Even by Shofar, we apply the same concept. Almakas of Rava, apparently Rava holds, mitzvah is ain't tzrichais kavan, although it's better to have kavan l'shem mitzvah, but kavanah, mindfulness, paying attention, is not critical. It's not a precondition to kima mitzvah. The masa mitzvah carries weight on its own. Hashem considers this a master mitzvah, irrelevant of whether you personally are into it or not. That is provided, by the way, Tosis points this out, provided that it's not really a misasik, the way misasik really means, like preoccupied. Because then he's not even engaged in the physical aspect of the master. You see, there are two parts to a master. There's a physical aspect, picking up the shofar and blowing. That he has to be into. Then he has to be doing purposely, with the intent to blow that sound. Then there's a spiritual aspect. I'm doing the l'shem mitzvah. So even if that's lacking, says Rava, a masa mitzvah is a masa mitzvah, and has a life of its own, so to speak. And he's yetze. Really? Eisvei? We have a kasha on Rava. Mishnah in Bracha says, Hayukoyra b'toyra v'yigia zman ha-mikra. This fellow was reading the Torah, and suddenly he takes a look at the clock. It's time to say Krishma. And he happens to be holding at the parish of Shema. Im kivin liba yotza. If he paid attention, he's yotza. Im lav lo yotza, but otherwise he's not yotza. My love, shall we not assume when we say kivin liba, it means lotzes. He has in mind to be yotza. Evidently, You're not Yetzi unless you have in mind to be. Loy, that's not what it means. Likrois, you had in mind to read properly. Likrois, to read? Hakakari, we're speaking about a person who's reading. What do you mean? He had a mind to read. Well, he didn't have a mind to read. He's reading. Bekoyer lehagia, we're speaking that he's reading the letters, the words, to edit to check the Sefer Torah. So sometimes he's mumbling, sometimes he's reading. He can only be Yetzi if he makes sure to read properly. Then he's Yetzi Shema. We're speaking about kavana, intention, consciousness, awareness. We're speaking about practically. He has to make sure to read the words. Tashma. Let's bring another raya from our Mishnah, which says, "Hayoiver achir besaknesis." So this fellow is walking by the shul on Rosh Hashanah. Oy shay beso is somach besaknesis. Or he lived near the shul. V'shama kol shayfer. Suddenly he hears, "Woo, the kol shayfer." Oy kol megillah. It's on Purim. He happens to hear the megillah. What's the halach? Im kiven li bayatza. If he paid attention, he's yotze. Vim lav, but otherwise lo yotze. My love, shall we not assume? When we say im kiven liboy, it means lotzes. He has a mind to be yaitze. Apparently, that's critical. La, that's not what it means. Lishmaya. He has a mind to listen. What do you mean, lishmaya? Vashama. We're talking that he heard. Why does he have to have a mind to hear? No. Savur chamer ba'amu. You see, unless he's paying attention, just because he has a sound, it could be coming from a chamer, braying of a donkey. In which case, he's not involved in listening to a kol shayfer at all. He's missing even the physical aspect of this mass. He's preoccupied listening to a donkey, for all he knows. In the case of the Megillah, Farshim say, he has to know that it's coming from an adult. Perhaps it's just a kid reading. So he has to be aware of what's happening in the physical realm. That's number one. That's the baseline. Of course that's critical. Otherwise he's not involved, he's not engaged at all in this maaser. But once you have that, perhaps that's enough. Even in the absence of any spiritual kavana l'shem mitzvah. Esve, here comes another kashan rav. Brisa says, Niskav and Shamei Avle Niskav and Mashmiah. Suppose the one blowing the shofar had a mind, but the one listening did not have a mind. Or Mashmiah, the one blowing had a mind, but not the one listening. Lo yotze. He hasn't fulfilled his mitzvah shofar. Unless the one blowing and listening both had a mind. Let's stop and think. What's going on? You can explain very well that passage, the halacha, that the one blowing had kavana, not the one listening. What could be wrong? What could be lacking? According to Rava, we don't need a kavanah l'shem mitzvah. So what's the problem here? As we said before, kesava chamro ba'amhu, that the one blowing had in mind, and he's trying to blow his shofar, but the one listening just hears some sort of sound waves and he mistakes it for a chamor. So he's not engaged in this activity at all. He's not yetzi. So that could work with Rava. You don't need kavanah l'shem mitzvah. But here, he's not engaged in the masa at all. He thinks it's a chamor brain. Ela niskaven shomea v'niskaven mashmiya. What about the other halacha? The one blowing had a mind. The one listening did not. The other way, sorry. Niskaven shomea v'niskaven mashmiya. The listener had a mind, not the one blowing. Heicha mishkachas lo. How can you have somebody blowing a shofar and he's not engaged in what he's doing? He's blowing a shofar. Lav b'tekeh l'shir. Oh, apparently, what's lacking is just kavanah l'shem mitzvah. That's what the Brice is ruling out. The one blowing the shofar, who knows that he's blowing, he's trying to blow, but does not have kavanah l'shem mitzvah. He's just doing it, using the shofar as an instrument. That doesn't work. So it's a kasha rav who says, lack of spiritual kavanah, lack of kavanah l'shem mitzvah doesn't affect the ma'aseh. Perhaps we're speaking that he's just barking, so to speak. Manabeach is like barking. He's just practicing some short sound. He's not even trying to accomplish a proper tekiah with a proper shiur. In which case, he's not even engaged in the physical aspect of the masa. And all agree it doesn't work. Okay, so bottom line is, Rava holds, mitzvahs ain't shriches kavan. Certainly, You have to be engaged in the practical aspect, but on the ruchni aspect, not on the kavanah l'shem mitzvah. That happens by default. If you're engaged in a ma'aseh mitzvah, it takes on a life of its own, and you're to the mitzvah. Amli Abaye. Really? Elami Atav, that's the case. That even in absence of kavanah l'shem mitzvah, it is considered a ma'aseh mitzvah. Let's take it a step further. We know there's an iser bal toisef. One may not add to a mitzvah a fifth set of tzitzis, a fifth bias in the tefillin, a fifth min by the lulav. Now, suppose a person adds to a mitzvah without kavanah. According to you, Rava, you should be over bal toisef, right? Look, to be mekayim mitzvah, you don't need kavanah. It's automatically a masa mitzvah. Same should apply to bal toisef, to adding. If he adds, even without kavanah to do the mitzvah, it's a masa mitzvah by default, and he's over bal toisef. He expanded the mitzvah. Elamiyat, if that's the case, hayoshen b'shmini. Somebody sleeps on the eighth day, meaning after Sukkot. He sleeps b'sukkah. He's doing bal toisef. He's adding another day to the sukkah. You okay, should get malchus, and we know it's not so. In fact, in chutzlars, Umar says they sit in the sukkah, sleep in the sukkah, on shmini atzeres, because it's a suffix. In any case, we know for a fact there's no malchus by sleeping in the sukkah the day after sukkahs. So we assumed, until this point, because he was doing a shalei l'shem mitzvah. But according to you, lack of lishma, lack of intent, doesn't affect the ma'asa, just as you yotzei. Without kavanah, when you expand the mitzvah, you should be over bal toisef, even though there's no kavanah. Amalai, Rava responds, you know why? It's not a concern by sukkah. Shani Omer, because my opinion is, mitzvah is eino over alein el bisman. Bal toisef is only when it's in the zman, within the time frame of the mitzvah. So if he adds the mitzvah, he's over. He has another tzitzis, he's over. Another min to the lulav, he's over. Provided it's within the time frame where you makayim the mitzvah. But if it's past the expiry date, it's after sukkahs, he could sleep in the sukkah gesundheit. It's no longer the time of the mitzvah. Masiv Rav Shammai Bar Abba. Says Rav Shammai Bar Abba, I have a kash on you. You're telling me, once it's past the time of the mitzvah, there's no bal toisef. Listen to the Brisa which says, Menai l'koyin sh'olu l'duchen. How do we know that a koyin is on his way up to the stage, to the makom where he says, Birchas Kehan? Shelo yoymar, he shouldn't think to himself, well, ha'ilav nasna li teiru reshus l'varach Yisrael, being that the Torah gave me the ability to bench Klal Yisrael with the three brachas, the three psukim of Birchas Kehanim, I said, bracha achas m'sheli, let me add my own personal bracha. Kigayin, for instance, Hashem alakei v'seichem, Yosef aleichem, you can't do that. Tamalayma lo yisei sifal adavar. It's about time, you know, add to the mitzvah. That's the price. Let's think for a second. V'hacha, in this case, given the barachli, once he completed the three psukim of Birchas Kohanim, avar le'zimne, time's up. V'ktoni de'avar. The price tells us that if he's going to add another bracha from 3 to 4, he's over about taisif. Apparently, even after the Zman HaMitzvah, Bal Taisif can apply. Hachav Ma'eskinan, you know what we're speaking about? Dudlai Siyam. He hadn't yet finished the three brachas. He's still in the midst of the Brachas Kohanim. Still within the Zman HaMitzvah, and that's why there's Bal Taisif. But Tanya, we learned in the Brisa, Siyam, he finished. He says, they want to see him Bracha Achas. He finished one of the three brachas. But he's still in the midst of the process. He's not past his man. Batani, we went on a brisa. Sim kol bruchos. We're speaking that he finished all three brachas. And then he adds another bracha. He's ever about Taisif. What do you mean? Shleib is mani. Shani Hacha says, the more here it's different. It's still considered within this man. You know why? Kivon di ilu misramile. Tzibur achrin. Let's say another tzibur comes his way. He walks into shul later and he sees another tzibur davening. He can decide to get up there and do another Birchas Kohanim. If that's the case, Kulei Yoyma Zimneyu. So technically, potentially, the entire day is considered Zumana Birchas Kohanim. Well, he doesn't have to do the Bracha again, but he can if he chooses to. So when it comes to Birchas Kohanim, the entire day is considered Zman a Mitzvah. Therefore, should he add another Bracha anytime? Even after he's finished the three brachas, he has another one. It's still considered within the Zman Mitzvah, and he gets Bal Tais, as opposed to Yoshen, Besukkah, Beshmini, it's past the Zman Mitzvah. Umanot Temra. how do we know that this concept is true? This theoretical, potential Zman Mitzvah is considered Zman Mitzvah. Let's not listen to this mission. Hanetonim Matona Achas. So he has dam of a carbon, for instance, a carbon bechor, which needs to be placed, applied one time on the Mizbeach. Shenes Arvu Benetonim Matona Achas, which got mixed in with other dam of the same type of carbon, which needs one matana. So we have dam bechor mixed in with more dam bechor. Very pashut. Easy solution. He knows the matana achas. So just apply it once in the mizbeach. Matan dan, dalid, matan dalid. He has dam of a shlom, which needs to be placed four times on the mizbeach. Got mixed in with another dam shlom, which needs to be applied four times on the mizbeach. Simple solution. He knows the matan dalid. Take the entire mixture and apply it four times. Now comes trouble. Matan dalid matan achas. He has dam of a shlom, which needs four matanis. Gets mixed in with dam of a bechor, which needs one matana. What do you do now? You do four to accommodate the shlomim, or only one to accommodate the bechor of machlokes. Rabbi Lezer Omer, he knows the matan dalit. Apply it four times on the mizbeach to accommodate the shlomim within this mixture. Rabbi Shua Omer, no. He knows the matan achas. Only do one matan. What's the machlokes? Amalei Rabbi Lezer. So he turns to Rabbi Shua. How can you say one time is enough? How are you over about Tigra? He's reducing, he's deducting from the mitzvah. The shlomim needs four times. How could you suffice with once? I'm a little bit sure. Rabbi Shua responds to him, well, according to you as well, there's a problem. How are you over about Taisif? If he does four matanis, he has added to the Bechar. I'm a little blessed. Loi never about Taisif el kshu ba'atzma. The concept of Taisif is only when it's standing alone. He's deliberately adding to a mitzvah. He's adding another min to the lulav. In this case, it's a mixture. As the Rishonim explained, he's just trying to accommodate all the possibilities, cover all the bases. He's not trying to add to the mitzvah. There's no Taisif here. Amar Rabbi Shua, okay, according to me as well. Loi never about Tigra el kshu ba'atzma. A tikra only applies when it's standing alone. You deduct, you reduce, you chop away in the mitzvah. But in this case, that's not the case. It's a mixture. There's this dam that needs four. This dam needs one. So there's no about tigra if he only does once. And look, if he could do it, get away with once, why be matriach? Why burn him to do more? That's one set of arguments. V'oid, furthermore, says the Gemara, even without the above svaras, we have another set of arguments. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Shaloi Nosata. So he has a mixture. Dam Shlomim, which needs four. Dam Bechor, which needs one. And it remains passive. It goes down just to one. Avata Batigra. Suppose you're right. There's Batigra here. But at least he's not doing something wrong. You haven't done something. You haven't actively transgressed. As opposed to Krishna Nosata, if we follow your opinion, and you actually apply four on the Mizbeach, number one, you're doing Baltaisiv, and number two, you have actively transgressed. So what's better? Of course, passive, Shei Bal Tasa is better. So that's the end of the mission. Let's analyze the mission. So he has a mixture of Dam Bechor, which needs one Matana, with Dam Shlomim, that needs four. V'hoch, in our case, Kivan the Yovli Matana, Mibchor, once he does one Matana, to accommodate the Bechor in this mixture, overlay Lizimne. Time's up for the Bechor. He's finished. He's done, right? Time has expired. You're yet to the mitzvah, you makir the Bechor. So what's the problem? V'ktoni the Avram Shabbat Toysif. And Rabbi Shua claims, by going to two, three, four matanis, you have a Bal Toysif. What's the Bal Toysif? You're adding matanis to the Bechor? Bechor is finished. He's hukrev already. He's taken care of with first matana. It's past his man. According to Rava, past his man, there's no Baltaisif. Oh, this proves our point. That just as we said by Bichas Koinim, since theoretically you can bench again and again, it's still considered your man here as well. Lav Mishum, apparently it's because Damrina we say, Kivan the Ilum is Ramali Bruchachrina. Since if another Bukhar comes his way in the Migdash, Hadar Mazamine, he's going to do another hazara. I mean, he's going to be makriv it properly, right? The kohen and the mikdash takes care of all the karbanos that come his way that day. So kula yoyim mazimne. Apparently, the entire day is considered zman hakrovas abchor. Although this particular b'chor has been addressed once the first matan hits the mizbeach, but technically, zman hakrovas b'chor extends throughout the entire day. And therefore, adding more matanis for this dam abchor is considered bal toisif. It's not considered over zmanim. Look, as the Sfasamis explains, there's another point. You know, let's say he wouldn't have been makir the bukhar in the morning. This one. He could have done it in the afternoon. So really, even this particular bukhar could have been done later. He relates to the next rest of the day as well. It's considered zmanay. As opposed to sukkah, you don't sleep yesterday on sukkah. It's too late. You can't sleep today instead. So shmini is certainly la'achah zmanay. Of course, it's no matayisif. So that's right, our concept. Again, let's just go back a second. Rava says, mitzvah is ain't shrichas kavana. Question was, well, if kavana is not a prerequisite for kima mitzvah, then it shouldn't be a precondition for bal toisef either. So sleeping in the sukkah on the 8th day is bal toisef. Answers Rava, no. Shalei bizmano, there's no bal toisef. We had a kasha. So why if the kohen adds to his bracha, there's bal toisef? The answer is, it's still the zman, because he can keep on benching cholesterol throughout the day. And the right was from here. Since bechor applies throughout the day, it's considered zmanay and there's bal toisef. Memai says, how do you know that there's a raya from here to your concept? Tilma kasav Rabbi Yeshua, mitzvahs over alein, afilu shelay bezmanay. You see, you're working with the premise that Rav is right. There's no bal toisef shelay bezmanay. And therefore you say, well, the kayan gets bal toisef because it's called zmanay. The dam b'chor that gets extra matonis, well, toisef because it's manay. So you're being right from Bishua, who says it's bal toisef by dam b'chor, to your concept that apparently zman nakrova z'abchor extends throughout the entire day. How do you know that's correct? Maybe Bishua disagrees with Rava. He holds. Guess what? This is bal toisef even shaloi b'zmanay. Plain and simple. He negates the entire premise of Rava, which is the starting point of this whole discussion. Again, shleib is manay, there's no bal toisef. That's Rav's shita. So why, if a kohen adds a bracha, is bal toisef? Because it's called zmanay. Because it can bench the entire day. Why, if he adds matana to the bukhar, is bal toisef? Because it's called zmanay. Who says? Maybe the reason why it's bal toisef by the bukhar, the reason why Rishua considers bal toisef, because he disagrees with the whole concept of Rav. He holds that he could be over bal toisef, even shleib is manay. So perhaps his whole svara is not right. The fact that he could bring it later makes it zmanay. No, it's shleib is manay, and Rabbi Yeshua indeed holds this is bal toisef even shleib is manay. Memai dilma kasav Rabbi Yeshua mitzvahs over alein afilu shleib is manay. So what's your right from Rabbi Yeshua that the zman continues throughout the day? The zman does not continue. This is bal toisef even after the time, even after expiry date. Says the Gemara, you know what my raya was? Anan hachi kamrinan. We brought a raya as follows. You see, let's backtrack. Rabbi says, mitzvah is ain't shrichas kavan. It can be yaitzah without kavan. Asks Abaye. So why didn't he get malchus for using the sukkah after sukkahs? Answers Rabbi, it's after expiry date. On that, Rav Shaman bar Abba had a kasha from Birchus Koyan. Why does the Bryson say, this is bal toisef? It's past the zman. Now, why did Rav Shimon bar Abba choose to ask a kasha from that halacha, the Brice of Brichas Kohen? He could have asked a better kasha from the Mishnah of the Dam, where Rabbi Shua clearly says this is bal toisef, even after the Bukhar has been accounted for and accommodated. Once you've done that first matana, Bukhar is taken care of, and still when you add more, this is bal toisef. Shulei bezmanay, this is bal toisef. He could have asked the kasha directly from that Mishnah. Why did he choose to ignore the Mishnah? Our raya is coming from the following calculation. Rav Shimon bar Abba, my timer, Shavik Masisim. Why did he abandon the mission of the Bukhar? Umoisim bar Bryce and chose to ask the kash from the Bryce of Rechaz Koinim. That we see that Valtoisi even applies Shleib Ismani. Loisiv Masnisim. Why didn't he ask Rechma Mishnah, which is more reliable and authoritative? Oh, you know why? Apparently, even he agreed that you can't ask from the Mishnah and Rava. He must listen my time alay Moisiv. Why didn't he ask for the Mishnah? Again, what do we see in that Mishnah? Adding matonis on the Mizbeach. It's called Batoisiv despite the fact that the Bechor has been accounted for once that first matana was given. So why is the Batoisiv? Why couldn't they ask from there? My time alay Moisiv, the answer is, it's still considered the Zman. Since another Bechor would come his way throughout the rest of the day, who'd have to take care of it and do the hazois, meaning apply the dam. Apparently, the Zman HaKrovas of Bechor extends throughout the entire day and it's called Zman. It's not called Shalei B'Zman. Therefore, he couldn't bring a raya. He couldn't ask a kasha from that mission. How could it be Baltoise Shalei B'Zman? Guess what? It's not Shalei B'Zman. So even if Shomar Abba knew that, how do we know he knew that? The fact is, he didn't ask for that Mishnah. Because he understood, there's no kasha, it's manai. Well, if that's the case, then why is he asking for Brichas Koinim? The same answer could be given to Brichas Koinim. Brice and Nami, the Brice of Brichas Koinim also. There as well, you could answer the same thing. Sure, there's Baal Tosef, when you add to the Bracha. It's called Zmanai. The entire day is Man Brichas Koinim. Given the Mishrabi Tziburachrina. Suppose he meets another tzibur that needs brachas kohanim, hodim avarach, he can go ahead and do brachas kohanim. If so, kulay yoyim azimnu, we consider the entire day as man brachas kohanim. So bottom line is, why was Rav Shomer Abba considering that a kash on Rav? We say that shleib is man, it's not about toysif. Why is it about toysif brachas kohanim? Because kulay yoyim azimnu. Apparently he himself agreed to the concept. The fact is that he understood that there's no kash from Bechor. Why is the Baal Tosef it's Shleib Ezman? It's not Shleib Ezman because Kul Yom is in the Bechor. So why couldn't he say the same by Bechas Kayanim? Answers the Gemara. V'Rav Shaman Bar Abba. He held differently. He agreed to the concept. But you can't apply it to Bechas Kayanim. Hosam Le'Sagid Le'Yov. In the case of Bechor, he can't go without applying the Dam to the Mizbech if another Bechor comes his way throughout the day. He's a Kayan. He has to take care of Kabanis. So the Zman of Bechor extends throughout the day. Right. And therefore, this is Baal Tosef, I understand. But by Bechas Koinim, can't compare. Hach, over here by Bechas Koinim. Iboy Mevarach. If he chooses to, he'll give another brach to the next Tzibur. Iboy, if he chooses not to, Loy Mevarach. He won't do it. Tosef says, right from here, that although generally there's an obligation on a Koin to do Bechas Koinim, he's over an essay of Emor Lehem. But if he already did Duchan once today, he doesn't have to do it again. He can choose to do it, he can choose not to. Therefore, says Rav Shammah Rabbah, I can't consider the Zman of Brichas Koinim throughout the entire day. It doesn't extend to the rest of the day. There's no Chiv for the rest of the day, as opposed to a Koin, where he has a Chiv to be Makiv Karbonis. Oh, so having said that, the Kasha from Brichas Koinim is a valid Kasha on Rava. If he already did his Brichas Koinim for the day. Time's up. Why is it Baal Tosef? According to Rava, who says, there's no Baal Tosef Shloi Bezmane, like by the Sukkah. Apparently, the Gemara itself held differently. Not even Brichas Koinim, since he has the option of doing Bracha again and again, Kuli Yom Ezimne. And therefore, Baal Tosef applies. So in summation, according to this Mahalach in the Gemara, Mitzvah is Ein Tzrichas Kavanah. So, intent for mitzvah fulfillment is not mi'akiv, and likewise, even adding to a mitzvah without kavanah brings about Baal Tosef, but provided that it's bizmana mitzvah. After bizmana mitzvah, there's no Baal Tosef. Here comes another mahalach. Rav Amar, some say perhaps it's before it was Rabbi, here it was Rav, some say Rav himself had another terrorist tabayis kasha, which will result in another shita, another approach to the sugya of Baal Tosef. Again, Rav had said, Mitzvah says Yichus Kavanah, comes Abai and says, what do you mean? So why isn't the Oiver Baal Tosef when he sleeps in the Sukkah on the 8th day? Rabbi Omar, Lotis Leboi Kavanah. Indeed, to fulfill a mitzvah, you don't need Kavanah. It's not a precondition. But Lava Bari Kavanah. Well, there's a difference between fulfilling a mitzvah and the Oiver Baal Tosef. He's adding to a mitzvah. It's not Baal Tosef unless he's intentionally adding to a mitzvah. You see, when I do the initial Masa mitzvah, it's valued. It's treated like a Masa Mitzvah. The Torah considers this a Masa Mitzvah on its own, by its own right, without my Kavanah. But Bal Toisev, that's not naturally a Masa Mitzvah. Then you need Kavona, L'shem Mitzvah, and that makes it a Bal Toisev. Oh! But if he sleeps in the Sukkah without Kavona, L'shem Mitzvah, he's not Oivah. That's a simple terrace. Asks the Gemara, really? V'hamatan Domim. A little bit sure. The lover of Leibay Kavona. So what's the problem with adding more Matan Domim on the Mizbech? Rav Shua says Bal Toisev. Why the Bal Toisev? He's not trying to add to the Matanus of the Bechor, he's trying to accommodate the Shlomo that's in there. So why is it Bal Toisev? Elamar Rava says, Rava, okay, let's tweak it a bit. Lotzis Leibay Kavona. To be Yetzer Mitzvah, Kavona is not critical. What about lover? For Bal Toisev, it depends. Depends where you hold. Biz Manoi Leibay Kavona. If it's within the time frame of the Mitzvah, then it's naturally a Masa Mitzvah, even though he's adding, he's expanding. But it's considered a Masa Mitzvah, and he's Oyev Bal Toisev. And that's why when it comes to the Dam, he's Oyev Bal Toisev. It's called the Zmana Mitzvah. When it comes to the Kehanim, it's Bal Toisev. But Shaloi Bezmane. But if it's past Zmana Mitzvah, like in the case of Sukkah on the 8th, Boi Kavon. It's not Bal Toisev unless he intentionally does it L'shem Mitzvah. But by default, it's no longer a mitzvah. It's past this month. So according to the final approach in the Gemara, mitzvah is leibay kavana. But Bal Toisev, you see, sort of a hybrid, a mix between the first and second mahalachim of the Gemara. When it comes to Bal Toisev, there is a kavana aspect and there is a zman aspect. So we're joining both verses together. Depends what you're holding. If it's zmanai, so it's considered by default a Masa Mitzvah, and even without Kavanah L'Shem Mitzvah, he's able to tell you. But if it's a Shaloi B'Zmanai, he has to turn it into a Masa Mitzvah, and that you need Kavanah for. But if he's sleeping in the Sukkah on the 8th without Kavanah, so you have Shaloi B'Zmanai, and Shaloi Kavanah, he's able to tell you. Okay, let's do a quick Chazara. We had basically three parts to our daf. In the first section, Rabbi tells us, if one is standing in a bar and starts blowing, and as he's blowing, he makes his way out of the bar, that's okay, because he hears that clear sound of the shayf all along. We proceeded to mitzvahs loy lav lahonis nitnu, not considered personal pleasure, personal benefit, and therefore if he blows a shayfer of an oil and a shlamim, he's yaitze. Of a desire, he's yaitze, except for iron and dachas, because it's slated for shayfa. Even mudur hanom achaviri can be yaitze yitzkiya from his friend. His friend could be maza on him, a mayan of neder hana, you can be toil in it l'shem mitzvah during winter time. And the maskamas of the Gemara was mitzvah is ain't tzrichas kavan. Regarding Bal Toisev, we have two approaches. According to the first approach, bezmanu is Bal Toisev, but not shalei bezmanu. According to the second approach, bezmanu only with kavana is it going to be Bal Toisev. Shalei bezmanu, Bal Toisev only applies when it was done with kavana. Hatzlacha Rabbah, and all the best to you.